5 stars down it.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing out there? Happy Saturday. How's everybody doing out there?
Good.
I'm chilling, man.
That's good to hear. Let me just get this out the way first. This is Dennis Holmes. I'm here with my co-host, Sharon Mullen, the Chocolate Girl.
All right. That was a 10 out of 10, Dennis. You got it right. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you say my name. From now on, every time you say it, that's how you say my name.
Terrible.
Say my name. Say my name. It's Saturday, my favorite day of the week. Yay!
Exactly. Welcome to the side, John, ladies and gentlemen. We are here with another interview with y'all, but this one is a little bit different, okay? He's a teacher by day. He's a comedian by night. You've seen him in a lot of places. Hopefully, you ain't seen him in no schools, just one school. But you see him in a lot of places that does great comedy. I want to give you all the famous Lamar Todd is in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,
what up?
What's up?
Right.
What's going on? What's happening?
Right. At first, you are our guest. So I want to ask you, Lamar, how was your week?
Oh, man, week was chilling, bro. I was on vacation this week, man, on teacher vacation. I did a whole lot of comedy this week, man. Doing teacher shows this week and just really like doing nothing, you know what I'm saying? And just chilling, man, getting in shape and stuff too. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear. Now, Chair, how was your week?
My week was great, Dennis. I have had a phenomenal week. Really, it's been interesting. It's been revealing. It's really been a great week. Now, I don't have any data or stats or, stat sheet or some facts to back that up, that it was a great week for me. But just believe me, with this smile on my face, I've had a great week. How about you, Dennis? How has your week been?
My week has been really good. I'm off this week because we ain't had no school this week, so. I'm off this week as well. So it was actually really good. Got to do some things, clean around the house, fix some things up, get to see some people I ain't seen in a while. So
it's a damn shame, man. Like the people I know in the education system, man, they go on this vacation and they ain't got no money to go nowhere. Every time they be talking about doing stuff in the house, they be like, yo, what you doing? Man, I'm gonna do some gardening, man. I'm gonna work on that basement, man.
and then the summer, it's crazy because then the summer vacation come up. And you're like, yeah, I'm going out. I can't stand this. I ain't seeing this school this year. Next thing you know, they're like, yeah, they got summer school. They paying a little extra. You know what? I'll be there for that.
Yo, bro, that's just how I be, bro. That's just how I be. It's real, man.
This is what it is. Like, you don't even have to work a whole day in summer school.
Yeah. Like, hold on, all right. I did that last year, bro. I taught a class I don't even teach. I taught art class, like real art class. And I told them I was in the arts department because I do improv and stuff like that. These motherfuckers put me in a real art class, bro. Oh, I kept my mouth shut because the pay was good. But, man, I ain't know what the fuck to do with that paint. I had paint on these kids' face. They was going on their clothes, everything. They come every day, paint on their fucking clothes. I'm like, you wash off. They wash that shit off, come back with the same paint stain next week. was like, oh shit, this, I should not be in this department right now. I should not be doing this.
Art class in summer school? Dang.
Yeah, man, it was real, man. I had them just painting the furniture and shit. I didn't know what to paint. They ain't had no real materials. We had paint, but we ain't had nothing to put it on. I was like, paint the walls. I ain't going to be here after this. Like, go ahead and paint the door. Real shit.
Now, how did your comedic journey start?
Oh, man, comedic journey started, man, a long, long time ago, man. I always, had things in front of me, you know what I mean, to encourage me to do comedy. I grew up in a church. My father was a minister. And also my mom, she a daycare teacher. So that go right there, you know what I mean? The two blends, you got a speaker and you got a teacher right there. Right. In the church, man, I was in the choir and stuff like that. So I was in front of people. Later on, I got in the theater. I was in the theater, and after being in the theater and stuff like that, start rapping like everybody do. You know what I mean? You got to go through your rap phase. And and then later on, just friends and people around me always encouraged me to do comedy. You know what I mean? They just say, yo, you need to do this. And one year, I just had like a life-changing year. You know what I mean? Like a bunch of shit happened to me. I had a seizure. I had my first kid being born. Everything. So it made me want to change my perspective on what I'm doing and, you know, I mean, kind of walking my purpose.
So what year was that you just said?
So the first time I got on stage was 2010 and about 13 years ago. And I did that. I saw a friend from Chester, where I'm from, Chester, PA. His name Jay Sutton. I saw him perform somewhere and it encouraged me because this is a guy I knew that I grew up with. That was doing comedy, and I said, oh, I can do this too if he's doing it, you know what I mean? And right. So I went to the Laugh House Comedy Club and went up there and performed, and also went to Helium Comedy Club, went to their open mic, and I was garbage. I wasn't good, you know what I mean? But I had some little funny stuff to say, so that let me know that I could do this. And I saw some bum comedians too that wasn't that funny. And I was like, oh, I can at least be funnier than them. You know what I mean?
I see them bum comedians too, but then I'll be like, I can't sit there and be on. I don't have a set. That's the thing. I don't have a set.
Well, you got
to sit there and try to disrespect comedy. Comedy too much to disrespect it.
Nah, bro. You got a set of eyes that right there, you can just talk about that as soon as you get off stage. You just talk about yourself. That's all comedy is, but comedy ain't for everybody. You know what I mean? Like it's people out here that just don't want to speak about stuff. But I think everybody should kind of try it or speak publicly sometime in their life. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't for everybody. I thought it wasn't for me. Shit, until I got out there and started doing it, because I knew other people that was doing it. I was just like, yeah, go ahead.
I'm with you on that.
Work.
So when did you go to the comedy school?
I went to the comedy school. Oh man, I did that probably like 5 years after I was doing comedy, man. Shout out to Touray. I took his comedy class, and I took that class because I just wanted to elevate my career. I knew I was funny on stage, but I wasn't talking about nothing specifically. After I took the comedy class, it actually helped me to just speak on just actually who I am as a comedian and or as a person, even not even just as a comedian. And I went into my passions and what I spent all day on. I spent 8 hours a day as a teacher. So I started writing about that. And that is just evolved into more and more material.
That was a great job. Let me get that out the way. The way you be talking about them kids, the same way I talk about them kids.
Hey,
and when you put that on fuck them kids, because Sharon hate when I say fuck them kids.
You got to say it. It's not literally. We're not literally.
Right. As I say, I tell her that all the time. Like, Sharon, I love kids.
It's just,
but these kids, they try their best.
That's not true.
Yeah. Now, listen, these kids will try their best to get over on. They're best. And some of them is good.
Some of them is good.
Some of them is good.
Really, I say they all good. You know what I mean? Because they're children. They really don't have a chance yet to, you know what I mean, really prove themselves. So I just think they dumb too. You know what I mean? They all smart, but they dumb. They smart and dumb because they not developed. They like a half-cooked egg. They They just ain't got it all. You know what I mean? And they think they do, but they don't. It's scary as shit because adults is like that too sometimes.
I don't know. There's a lot of adults that still like that. It's a half a dig. And you can't tell them nothing. That's the bad part about it.
Yeah, work. Yeah.
And you're definitely right about that.
Yeah, so, that's the parents of these motherfuckers.
Man, when did you bomb? That's what I want to know. When did you bomb?
When did I bomb? I bombed probably like my first or second time. No, my second time performing. I performed at a talent show. I paid $25 to perform. And my cousin was in the audience. Yo, yeah, it's my second time up there, man. And I didn't have a routine down pat. And my cousin was in the audience and fucking heckling me. So I started roasting him. And as I roasted him, I forgot my set and everything I was about to say that I had down on paper. And so, man, I just got off stage and they was just like, I didn't get booed, but everybody was like, oh, when I got off stage. I was like, all right, y'all, I'm Lamar Tide. They was like, oh, it was worse than the boo because they felt sorry for me. They wasn't. They was just like, oh.
I mean, you had to learn from that because you made it to Apollo. I can see you say that.
Oh, yeah. Nah, definitely, man. Them bombing days is over, man. They ain't happening no more. Like, now I got a structure that works everywhere. I don't care if I'm in a hookah lounge or if I'm in a major theater or something like that or arena. Like, these jokes are going to work. They're going to make you laugh. They've been tested amongst different audiences. Yeah, crowds and stuff like that. So now I know what it's hitting for. But when you first starting out comedy, man, you know what I mean? You're going bomb. You're going to take that L, man. You know what I mean? And it's up to you to go ahead and quit or keep it moving.
Right.
Yeah.
You do have a structure now that is very good. And it's relatable to everybody because everybody got some fucking kids.
You want to relate to where people at. I mean, I talk about school and teaching, man. Everybody done been to school. Even the dumb motherfuckers done been to school. Everybody know about teachers. Everybody know about parents. Everybody know about the system that we got. You know what I mean? And, it's time to go in on it. You know what I mean? And get it out there. So now I developed my own show, man. I got the Teachers Be Like comedy show.
When did you start that? When did you actually know that there was other teachers out there doing comedy? That's what I want to know. I didn't know there was so many of y'all
out there doing comedy. Man, this is genre. It's something out here for everybody when it comes to comedy. You got handicapped people out here in wheelchairs doing comedy. You got you got Indians comedy. You got all kind of you got tranny comedy. You got all kind of shit out here. You know what I mean? So why not, you know what I mean, zoom in on one of America's largest professions, you know what I'm saying, and most needed profession, you know what I mean, and make some fun with that, you know what I mean, because they're one of the most stressed out in the country, especially after the pandemic and all that. Nobody don't even want teachers. Hard to find teachers right now, so they in dire need of laughs. So, man, I started that in Punchline Comedy Club. They let me open that up over there, and it's been a success ever since, man. And now everybody want to have a teacher comedy show now. It's crazy.
Right. I didn't know it was that many teachers doing comedy.
Yeah, it ain't a lot.
I first heard about your teacher comedy show. I actually seen you first, but I didn't know you had a whole teacher comedy show. Somebody actually told me word of mouth when I was at work listening to the teachers. They was like, oh, yeah, well, it's Teachers Week, and I'm going to go see Teachers Be Like.
Yeah, word. That's what's up.
It was like, it's a comedy show.
Yeah, word. Yeah, man. So Teachers Be Like, man. And we got support from Fox and, you know what I mean, a couple networks that's helping us out promote that joint. You know what I mean? And it's been dope, man.
What was that like to get on
there? Yeah, man, it was love, man. You know what I mean? I love to be on TV, man. Get my little self out there, man, and show the face and promote the biz. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about. Getting the people out there, getting them familiar with the face. You know what I mean? And letting them know what the brand is, you know what I mean? And once they get familiar with that, hopefully they like it. Hopefully they come on board and become part of our team. You know what I mean? Our team growing all the time. Last night, we grew like another 300 people. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, we're looking forward to it. Just keeping it popping.
That's good. That's definitely good. Now, because see, you work in the school district, so I don't want to hit those questions just yet.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to know.
I ain't scared, cuz.
Have you did public school or you always been in charter?
My school is a public charter school, so it's a blend of both.
Yeah, but okay, you know how they got the myth out there about charter schools do this, public schools do that.
Do you know the difference between the charter school and the public school?
Yeah.
What is it?
The difference between the charter school and the public school is the public school is allowed to all people. In the charter school, you actually got to sign up and go there for the kids.
Yeah, you sign up and go there. So I'm working at a public charter school. So it's both together. It's a merge. So this is public. It's open to everybody. But the way they receive their funds is why they call it charter. Charter schools are most of the time privately owned by different businesses, like people right. that are just out there for money. And so this is a public charter school. So they are funded by people, but I mean, it's just not, it's not like a business. They get donations instead of actual, just actual checks from the government and stuff like that. So these actual real people that care about these kids' education as an art school, they come through, write like checks for like $1 million, $500,000, stuff like that, just to keep the school funded. So it's, They really about the students where I work at, man, and it's dope, and they don't take no bullshit. They're not just taking, like kids that's been kicked out of this school, that school, and that school, and it's gonna fuck shit up. Like you come in there fucking shit up, they're gonna get you out of there. But and that should be in any school, Shit, lean on me, Dr.
It should be, but Dr. they got Clark schools out there that take the bad kids.
They got that No Child Left Behind and all that stuff going on where, like some kids in the state of PA where you can't even flunk certain people, Like you just got to pass them through and all that. But yeah, I like the school right here, man. They got a heavy focus on the arts, and that's what allowed me to do what I do there, man. I teach comedy as a class at the school that I work at. So, right. So comedy and improv is like an actual class in it. So, man, I'm doing my thing all day long in there, man. So, it's dope.
So, do you teach a regular class as well?
That's the class.
That's the class, comedy improv?
Comedy improv. You know how you got theater, how you got woodshop?
Right,
how
you right.
got home ec? You got comedy improv.
I thought all this time you was a math teacher.
I can't tell you shit about math. I can't tell you nothing about math. Listen, I didn't even go to school to become a teacher, bro. I was a comedian first, stand-up comic, And then I started the after-school program. They got the popping. After the after-school program got popping, they was like, yo, we want you to teach this class full-time. And I went ahead and took it on, because it's my passion. It's comedy. Other teachers be bitching about their job because they hate their fucking subject. They hate history or math or whatever. Dog, I'm going in there loving my job every day because I'm teaching comedy. We doing sketches. They doing public speaking. They writing scripts. Like, the shit is dope.
That is good. That is definitely good. I did not know you was teaching comedy. All this time, I thought you was a math teacher.
Yeah, I don't know why you got math. I don't even know how you get that addition to add that up.
I heard one of your jokes, and I remember you was talking about the young boy, and you said this. And he said something to you about you eating a glizzy. And you was like, yeah, that's why you're telling my class. Oh, I did put
some mathematics in there. Hey, yeah. That's some good listening right there. All right.
That's where I got it from. I just want to let you know where I got it from. That's why I thought you were saying
that. It is. Yeah, I do got. Well, in my jokes, yeah, that's dope that you peep that, though. A lot of people don't peep that. I incorporate, like, all each subject. I got math joke, got an English joke, got a social studies joke. Like, I got something for each kind of thing, and I kind of slipped that in there without being too teachery. It just keep it goofy. But yeah, it's in there. But yeah, I've been an assistant teacher in a math class, but I ain't never had my own class. I done took over. Shit, I was a math teacher at one point though. Like I took over a couple classes because my students ain't had no teacher, and I had to just. Yeah, I had to go ahead and take over and like learn some of the lessons and then teach it to them until they found a teacher.
Well, we got Trisha Joy here. She said, "What grade?"
My grade that I teach is from 6th grade through 12th grade, and also I can come to your school, Trisha. I also have a workshop called Laughing in Class, where I come to the schools and I teach the schools how to incorporate laughter into their classroom. And so I teach them how to do all kind of improv games and how to incorporate that into a math lesson, how to incorporate that into a social studies lesson, how to incorporate into your vocabulary, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So, yeah, we can get it to rolling. I'm trying to get it in all the schools, actually. So tell your principal, hook me up with the next PD, book me at the next PD. I do stand-up, too, at PDs, too. Because professional development, PD stands for professional development, for some of y'all that don't know. And that's like the in-service day for teachers. Like when they got to be there and the student's not there and they got to go through training, that shit is boring as hell. Boring as hell. And it's strenuous and sometimes it's just stressful to get all that information. And so what I do is I come through to the school and I relieve them for about a little half hour or hour and make them laugh. And then they can go ahead and get back to work, get back to their training and stuff like that. And it's laughter about their job, what they're doing. You know what I mean? And it's a little stress reliever, man. You know what I mean? They need that, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, they definitely do need that. I'm going to have to say they definitely do need that. Yeah. Had no idea you was teaching comedy. Did you have any kids that went on to take comedy serious after, you know, leaving?
Oh, yeah. Really, it's a class. You know what I'm saying? So I also teach a private class outside of teaching at the school. So I teach at Philly Improv Theater and different places. You know what I mean? Like those kids, they tend to take it more serious and go ahead because they pay for a class. These kids at the charter school, they just doing it. You know what I mean? It's another class. I had a couple of students that did take it serious though, and got auditions, got, you know what I mean, callbacks and stuff like that, and actually performed, and I got to pay them, you know what I mean, at clean comedy shows and things like that. And yeah, it's cool, man, you know. And just to see a kid just get up in front of the class and speak is a lot, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people, you know what I mean, like never spoken publicly before, you know what I mean, or have trouble speaking in front of their class, you know what I mean? Like, that's my goal. Get that fear out your head about other people and, you know what I mean, them looking at you.
That's a great job. Get that right off their chest. A lot of kids, there's a lot of talented kids out there, but they scared to go on stage.
Yeah, it works. Stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, it because the arts is getting corny now. You know what I mean? It ain't cool to, you know what I mean, be in plays, or it's not cool to dance no more. It ain't even cool to rap no more, cuz. Like real rap, not unless you really just already out here, like half a millionaire out here.
I really want to know what was your rap name. I really want to know what was your rap name.
Team Mumbles.
Team Mumbles?
Team Mumbles. Toddy Mumbles. Because I used to mumble every time I got in the booth. Like, and now mumble rap is all popular and all that. No, I started that. TMUMBLES. Don't get me to spit in my head, man. Come on, man. I was about to geese some bars.
At a real rap stage. I think we about the same age for you to have a rap stage.
Word. All right, you beatbox then. You look like a beatboxer. Go ahead.
No, I'm not.
Come on, you look like a
I'm not a beatboxer. But I'm not a beatboxer. That's not what I do. I'm nothing.
All right, you
I wanted to be a singer. No, I wanted to be a singer. That's what I wanted to be.
Oh, singer? Oh, ain't nothing wrong with that.
But I can't sing.
Today, bro. Who's stopping you?
But I can't sing. So that's all. You know, you want to be a singer, but you can't sing.
Oh, we don't say can't in my class, bro. Well, you take that out of your vocabulary right now, bro.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you have trouble. You have difficulties hitting them notes. That's your problem.
Yeah. I need some auto-tune.
So we can try right now. Let's live your dream, man. Let's go ahead right now. We're going to start with a little warm-up. Me. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right,
karaoke then comes out from time to time. I ain't that guy. So Trisha will say he's a beatboxer. Y'all are hilarious, man. Y'all are hilarious. Let me transfer this thing over to the chocolate girl, because as you work in schools, I was telling Sharon, who cares a lot about these kids and doesn't like me saying FTK, right? That she needs to be a school counselor. Mm. That's what I thought. Now, out of all your times being in the schools, what's the worst you had to go through with these people?
The worst? With the students or the
students. Not the students, not the adults. No. That's a whole other story.
The worst I had to go through, probably that fight I was in, man. Yeah, I broke up a fight. These girls, this is already a difficult fight already. You know what I mean? Like, but I wanted to go break it up, and man, the girl grabbed my hair, and she couldn't even tell who she was fighting. Her head was down. She grabbed my motherfucker hair and didn't need me in the balls. I said, you know what? This battle has been won. I'm leaving this up to y'all. This is somebody else's job right now.
Yeah.
That was a bad time. That was a bad time.
That just hurt hearing about it. Ooh.
Yeah. I got a brush burn right here on my elbow. I don't know if y'all can see that. Mm-hmm. Fucked my elbow up about a week ago. Keeping the kid back from fighting another kid. I had to hold him down the room. I was like, hey, man, look, it's over. It's over. But he got strong as shit since the last time he was fighting. I broke him up. I don't know what the hell they feeding these kids, man. He was like, oh, no, it's not over. Oh, nah, it's over. It's over, young blood.
Well, you gotta blame that on the hormones. You know it's the hormones in the food.
Oh man, I don't know. They getting these kids steroids? What, man?
He was
angry. He was like, "No, me, still angry." I was like, "Oh, shit, what the hell?"
Yeah, I believe that there's hormones in the food, and it's making these young ladies, especially, grow up look like grown women. And I'm in eighth grade. No, you're not.
No,
not like that.
But it's fucked up. They look like grown women in high school and look like grandmoms in their 20s. Like they go like, what's after grown woman? After grown woman, they ain't nothing. You're not gonna get younger looking. You're gonna look older. They looking.
Exactly.
That's why you gotta go get surgery now. That's why these surgeries popping right on time.
I've seen some look older than me, and I'm old.
Yeah, but the boys too. The boys got full beards like me in 11th grade.
Yeah, I went to school with a lot of them.
Yay! They in there, man. They in there. whole beards and all that, talking about, yo, what's up? You know what I mean? What's going on, Mr. Todd? Oh, my bad. I ain't got my homework. Yo, what the hell? And they, man, they grown. They grown, man. They got relationships, all that shit. It's crazy.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But you, what grade you said you teach?
Sixth grade through 12th grade. You know what I mean? But primarily, that's a lot of time with high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the most interesting thing you find about teaching these kids, especially in what you're teaching, you know, comedy and improv and so forth? What is the most interesting thing that you find about teaching them, these young minds?
Interesting thing. Y'all got some real general ass questions for this teacher thing. First, he said, "What's the craziest thing?" He gonna say, "What's the most interesting thing?"
What's the most interesting?
You gotta specify. Like, I don't know. It's so much interesting stuff. You don't know. Every day is something that interests me in that school. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Last week, somebody said they was gonna fucking blow the school up.
Shut up.
Yeah. And we fucked everybody up. You know what I mean? The head got us thinking about security, everything. Got the parents frantic. It's always something every day in there, man. You got shit with staff. You got shit with students. You got all kind of stuff, man. And it's just, you just stick through it every day, man. It's every day that it might be a fight. It might be an argument that you got to break up. It might be a kid just giving up on itself. It might be... somebody, you know what I mean, not fitting in properly, or somebody being too much of a follower. It's always some shit in there, man. I can't even put my finger on one specific thing. That's why you're saying something.
I'm sure. Well, let me talk about that staff. You mentioned the staff. You're a comedian now. You funny, right? Uh-huh. And I know sometimes you go in these staff meetings. Have to put your serious hat on and stuff. But don't tell me there's not a time when, in the middle of something serious, you bust out a joke or two. I know that happens.
Well, I have. And that's, they expect it, though, too. So now I got to chill. I got to watch her do that. Because, like, now, when you're the funny guy, when you're the comedian, people expect just funny shit to come out your mouth all the time. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I speak in front of everybody, they're like, oh, this is our comic relief. And like, I got to watch it because I don't want everybody thinking I'm a joke all the time. Because then I try to get serious and then they still think I'm joking. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
During professional, like during the meetings and shit, I can't sit near nobody because I'm going to start cracking the fuck up or doing something silly. I write jokes during the meetings. Like, see, I bring them my pen and pad, and I look like I'm writing something serious, but I'm writing jokes now. Like, I'm really roasting everybody in the room.
But see, you would be the one I would sit next to. You would be the one.
Oh, man. Every day. You don't want to do it. I'm going to get you in trouble. The boss going to look at you like, what the hell?
That's all right.
Very unprofessional.
I'll take it because I would want to just see what your twist on it is.
Yeah, I was scared to do it when I first started working, but now I've been there for a while. I'm like a vet. So now I sit back, I talk all kinds of shit. It'd be the new people coming in there, all professional and all, asking extra questions in the meeting.
Well,
it'd be the whole end of the meeting. Okay, y'all, we ready to wrap this up. Well, I just have one more question. Bitch, we about to go to lunch. You going to pull this right now?
So you want to just look at them and say, look, that's not how any of this works. When they say it's time to wrap up, we walk out the door. You don't ask another question.
It's time to wrap the hell up. It's crazy, man, with staff in schools, man. A lot of time you get a lot of gossip. A lot of people just talking about it because a lot of women, you know what I mean? And they be chatty. They be chatty about each other, and then they get us into it, get the guys into it after a while. They find me at the end of the hallway eating an apple, just like, you hear about Sharon? Yeah.
Now, wait a minute.
Sharon.
Now, the women don't have to bring you into being catty. Y'all catty on your own.
The school turned you into catty.
It's the school's fault.
It's the school's fault. They put it in the contract. It's great. but they try to do stuff for the staff to kind of make us, you know what I mean, more comfortable. Like, you got happy hour. You know what I mean? And happy hour kind of cool, but yeah, that's where we get away from the job and we can go ahead and do something else. But it's like, and it kind of ain't that because, like, the only thing we got in common is the job. Mm-hmm. So when we go out somewhere else, all we talking about is the job again. So we in happy hour talking about the damn students. You see Tyrone? He beat the shit out of Keisha, didn't he?
Well, look. So this is what I want to know. Has there ever been a time, though, you were saying earlier about sometimes kids need somebody to talk to because they don't feel like they're fitting in or something may be going on wrong at home?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys probably have counselors in there, but has there ever been a time that a kid confided in you in school?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times, man. And I'm like, oh, good. I ain't got to answer this one.
Yeah, you had to keep it like
Man, I had kids
private. Tell me about, keep it quiet, keep it private. They didn't want you to share it with somebody else.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, some stuff you still got to go snitch. But but a lot of stuff I just try to keep it with me so they really feel comfortable. Not unless they really in danger or something like that. Then I got to step outside of that and try to do what I can. But I had some kids talk to me about some real shit, man. You know what I mean? About relationships. Because they just starting to explore relationships with males or females. Like some of them in like physical danger. You know what I mean? Like about to get beat up or fight somebody or something like that. Some of them got financial issues. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they're at the age where they can start working, you know what I mean? And they starting to thinking about taking care of their own self instead of relying on their parents. So I get all of that, man. It's a couple kids that just wait in my room in the morning before I even get there. I come in, they in there just, you know what I mean, sitting in there. I'm like, yo, what's up? And like, yo, man, it's crazy, man. It's bullshit, blowing my shit. That means they're not in a good mood if they say blowing my shit. Yo, it's, you know what I mean? It's my shit getting blown, cuz. Like, what's wrong? Like, well, what's up, man? What's going on?
Well, you know, slang words changes over time. You got to really keep up with what they're saying now. Because I'm like, what? What does that mean? Huh?
But I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to also know that I'm not just your friend. I'm your teacher. You know what I mean? And I'm not your boy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here and I care about you. You know what I mean? We can kick it and all that, but I'm going to tell you from my perspective, I ain't going to fold on my beliefs and, you know what I mean, and how I feel about stuff. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And at the same time, not being too old too, you know what I mean? Where I could still have that eye, where I could still know, okay, keeping up with today and their society and where they are. So I ain't out of touch. That's the problem with a lot of these old heads. They be seeing stuff that ain't like back in the day. And it's like, this ain't back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, this is a whole new society. Of course, we should have some of those same values from back in the day, but a lot of things have changed. And that's why these kids are different and adults don't understand what's going on with them. And the cycle keep perpetuating because they don't understand them. So they just go ahead, discipline them real quick or reward them real quick. You know what I mean? Either way, they ain't, you know what I mean, around like they used to. These kids don't go outside no more and play. You know what I mean? Like, they in the house on their phone. They see their friends in school. You know what I mean? Like, if the only time you see your friends in school, like, they're going to be cutting up in school. They socializing in school. Like, this is where it's at now. And now they get in trouble for talking to their friend that's next to them that they ain't seen in a while. You know what I mean? Or, like, that's how they talk now. So, it's a lot that need to be changed because society changing, but the structure's not changing. School's still the same, you know what I mean? And teaching's still the same. The patient thing.
I think like adults need social hour. You mentioned happy hour before.
Yeah.
I believe students need social time too. They need recess.
They need recess.
That bring back
and
recess.
They don't have that even in high school.
They don't have that in high school
and they need it. Right. They still got energy. They still jumping around. They still kids. Like right. Even adults, like you said, like adults need a release and so do the children. They get like that's a half hour lunch and they right back in the class. And we expect them to keep that energy down. You know what I mean? Or, you know, like, they going to be kids. I know because I'm a 41-year-old adult that got energy. So, I know, like, I know that they need some type of release. You know what I mean? And, yeah. And some of them need extra release because they got some, you know what I mean, different condition.
Well, that's how I see the future of education. School is going to have to start looking totally different than what it looks now. It just can't keep staying the same because their rate of being stimulated is so much more. Like when I was in school, like you said, we used to go out and play in the morning before school. We would be playing at the bus stop. We playing. You know, we get at the bus stop early, play
you,
before
you
school.
Playing. You always run.
You go to school. You play at recess. You get
when,
out.
When you get you home, what you doing?
Play again.
Mm-hmm. When you get home, what you doing? You go inside. Probably take your school stuff and throw your book bag down and run back outside.
Run right back outside.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you gotta put your outside clothes on.
Oh, see? You gotta put your you gotta change your sneakers.
You gotta take them school clothes off.
I would take them Felis off and throw on them Reeboks and get on trucking. But yeah, that's what it was, and we don't have that anymore. So right. with that being gone. Like, how are these kids going to socialize? How are they going to get their energy out? That's why you got kids just sitting in the classroom, just or inside your living room, just jumping up and down, going.
Fidgeting. Yeah.
And you like, yo, sit yourself down. Stop moving. And it's like, why? You know, you know where this is coming from, right? This young boy ain't been outside all day long.
You've been outside.
You know what I mean? Like. And even if you did take him outside earlier, he's not doing that all the time. You know what I mean? Like, he ain't got nobody else to play with. This motherfucker is still a child. He's not an adult. Got all his energy. I got a son. I got a 9-year-old boy. This ball is full. He's a ball of energy all day long. Like, he might just get up and just run. just because. There ain't nothing wrong with him. You know what I mean? He's just a child. He's a child with energy. And he don't have a place to put it all the time. You know what I mean? Like, kids just can't run outside. Have a group of friends on a block that they play with all the time. The way people moving all the time from this place to that place in the hood now, or the way they breaking down projects and, you know what I mean, splitting it up and, you know what I mean, Section 8 and everything. Like, it ain't no community no more. You know what I mean? So you don't grow up with the same kids all your life. You know what I mean? You might have the same cousins or something like that, or the same siblings. But, yeah, it ain't that vibe no more. You know what I mean? Yeah. So with that changing,
school has to change.
Yes, and it ain't going to change no time soon, because you look at all the shit that we've been through in the last 100 years, you know what I mean, as a country, you know what I'm saying, with segregation and everything, and ain't a damn thing changed. It ain't, I mean, really, the structure of a teacher standing in front of a classroom, you know what I mean, the lessons that we have, the way that we interact with students, segregation is still popping, you know what I mean, like the schools are still segregated, and this and now they taking away history, you know what I mean, like, so
that's another thing. Another thing I wanted to ask you about that too, but before I do, here's an important question to me. You seem to be a teacher that really gives a damn about your job. You care about these kids. I can hear it in your voice when you speak about them.
Definitely.
But I know that there are some teachers who don't. They're only there for a paycheck. Now, they may not be at the school that you work at now, but I'm just saying.
No, it's some there too.
I'm sure you've encountered some. Has there ever been a time when you had to check a teacher? Teacher?
Oh, hell yeah.
Can you tell us about an example of one time?
Man, a couple times, man. All right, one time, this one girl came up to me and was like, "Mr. Todd, this teacher is getting on my nerves. Every time I come in here, he talking about how I'm pretty and how I could be a model. And, like, weird stuff. He doing it to me and my homegirl." Mm. I said, "Word?" I said, "How long this been going on? I don't know. This, you know what I mean? He act like he playing stuff, but I just don't think it's cool." I said, "Enough said. You ain't got to say nothing else. I got this. I ain't go to the principal. I ain't go to everybody. I went right to him and said, 'Yo, what's up with you, man? You talking about these girls pretty and all that, man? They need to be models. What's going on?' Nah, I ain't, you know what I mean? Who said that? Yo, that's dead right now. We ain't saying nothing like that, man. You crazy, dog? Like, these supposed to be like our daughters, you know what I mean? Or nieces and stuff in here, you know what I'm saying? Like, we not rolling like that." Another time, another teacher was just being too friendly, being too Joe, and like was talking, like cussing and stuff around the kids, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And talking about how he used to sell coke and stuff back in the day, like gang stuff. And I don't know if he was trying to relate or whatever, but he was being too cool, you know what I'm saying? And some people don't know the line, you know what I mean? These are children, these are not adults. They might act like it, they might smoke weed or drink or, you know what I mean, have sex and all that stuff, but they still stupid, they still young, and they don't know nothing.
And they need your guidance, not participation in the stupidness.
They don't know shit, and I always say it, like, "All right, y'all don't know nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah, you smoking weed, but bro, you don't know. They know it's not going to kill you. You know what I mean? But it's going to make you procrastinate. It's going to make you bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's going to make you sleepy. Like, it's going to make you fat from eating. You know what I mean? Like, all right, yeah, you drinking. Okay, everybody drinking, stuff like that. But, yo, do you know how that's going to affect your, you know what I mean, your body or your attitude or how you wake up in the morning? You know what I mean? Like, it's... I do tell them truths about myself and the mistakes I made, you know what I mean, about how I used to smoke weed or how I used to sell weed, you know what I mean, or I sold coke, you know what I mean? I did a lot of stuff, and it wasn't me, you know what I mean, how I didn't fit in there or how, like, other people that I knew that was successful doing it, how it didn't work out for them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I live the people's mistakes from all kind of angles, you know what I mean? So... when they do it, I just tell them the truth. I'm not going to lie to them or sugarcoat it or be, you know what I mean? Some people, some adults just, they're not realistic when they say shit. they say stuff that like, they're like, "Oh, you do that, you're going to die if you do this," or, you know, or you're going, you know what I mean? It's like, no, like, paint a real picture for them that they can really understand and just tell them without being there, without trying to be their friend, without being their buddy, you know what I mean? But really guiding them properly, you know what I mean? And there might be some shit that they don't want to hear, but you still got to give it to them.
Give it to them.
But yeah.
Because it's about what they need to hear, not what they want to hear.
Yeah. And they might think about that shit later on, you know what I mean, years later, and say, you know what? You know what I mean? Miss Sharon was all right. You know what I mean? Like, she told me something that, you know what I mean? Like, she really meant what she was saying when she said that. And, yeah, you ain't going to get the reward while they in there. So you just got to know that, like, all right, you know what I mean? I'm in this thing. You know what I mean? Like, if something good come out of it, you know what I mean? That's what's up. But, yeah.
Did I hear him right to say that you won Teacher of the Year?
Teacher of the Year? At my job?
At your job?
Oh, no.
Did you win Teacher of the Year?
No, that's Cat. That's Big Cat. Yeah, we won't even do Teacher of the Year at our job.
You should get it.
I probably should. I got a pen that I got. Hold on, where that shit is? It says, So, yeah, there we go. I wear this around the job sometimes just to piss people off.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah, yeah, wear it proudly. Wear it proudly.
Yeah, I wear it proud. I bought it at Spencer's Gifts.
Was it wear it proudly?
Yeah, yeah, but I do wear it proudly. They be like, "Ooh, so you employee of the month? They doing that now?" I'm like, "Yes."
No.
You think I don't deserve it? Who else?
Well, listen, if they don't do it,
you on mute. Oh, what you say?
Do it for yourself. If it doesn't, if you don't do it, do it for yourself.
Exactly. But nah, it's cool. I get comedy awards. So that's where I get awarded at. I got funniest comedian in Philadelphia last year from the Philadelphia Urban Film Awards. Got voted hardest working comedian from the Philly Hip Hop Awards. I got voted funniest comedian in the Philly Comedy Awards. Like, so I've done a lot, you know what I mean? Like, to get awarded already. So, man, the teacher thing, I ain't the best teacher in the world. I'm not, you know what I mean? But I am there for the kids, and I learn from a lot of other teachers that's there. You know what I mean? They help me out.
Well, I'll leave it to other people to tell that you're a great teacher, even if you won't say it yourself, because I'm sure you are pretty doggone good. Especially teaching what you're teaching. I just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, I do have a question for you from our audience. Miss Trisha Joy has another question.
Oh, hey, Sister Joy. What's going on, Trisha? What you say?
Something else. She said, what improv warm-up works best with your students?
Oh, yeah. Improv warm-up works best with students. It depends on the grade and what you're working with. I know just introducing them. I play a game where I sit them all in the circle. And first I'm talking to them, you know what I mean? And after we're done talking, I'm like, okay, we play a game called All Those Who, where I just sit them in a circle and like one person gets up. It's kind of like musical chairs. Like one person gets up, everybody's sitting in the chair except for one person in the middle. They don't have a chair. And they say all those who have a sibling, you know what I mean? And all those who got a sibling, you got to get up and go to a chair that's not yours. And it got to be at least two chairs next to you or something like that. So you get up and go to it. So if you have a sibling, you get up and you go to another chair. That shit get crazy. There's always one person left in the middle without a chair.
Without a chair,
they have to speak. So this is a game. The kids get hyped because it's kind of like musical chairs. They run around. But it's always one person in the middle that has to speak to everybody. That's just a small little warm-up to get them mentally ready to start speaking in front of everybody. You know what I mean? Kind of a game to trick them into speaking in front of the class.
We need to try that for adults.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, they need that too.
That's a great icebreaker on my next workshop. Exactly. I'm going to use that as an icebreaker.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I got a few icebreakers and stuff like that. That's what I do, man. It's just show other people how they can go ahead and incorporate that into what they do. You know what I mean? Especially in schools. Yeah. So, yeah, laugh in your class. Go ahead. You know what I mean? Tell your people laughing about that class. Workshop. And I'll be through that, man. We have a good time.
Laughing in class. Okay. So you said that you took, I think you said you took a course from Touray, one of his courses.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Shout out to Touray Gordon.
Touray is a friend of the show. We've had him on.
Yeah.
And shout out to him. I did tag him in the comments. So I hope he's watching. But I wanted to ask you, how did you pick to be a part of his training? Why did you pick Touray? Oh, I know why. Tell the audience why.
Oh, Touré is the top dog. I call him the most. He's the best comedian in Philly. And he has the experience. He got 30 years of experience in comedy game. And I walked in and I saw that he had that going on. I already knew him already for a few years. And I just wanted to get better with my comedy writing. I wanted to have some type of purpose behind my set and what I'm speaking on stage. And that's what that class gave me. It gave me writing structure. It got me in tune with who I am. It made me be a little bit more creative too. Like, to where he challenged me in that class, like, yo, you funnier than that. You're more creative than that. Come up with this, say this. And over time, I became, you know what I mean, who I am. And it's dope. It's been a blessing. That brother took me on tour with him, took me in places I never thought I'd perform. He put me in front of comedians, had me open up for comedians that I never thought I'd perform for. Nick Cannon, Kevin Hart, you know what I mean? Like big name comedians, you know what I'm saying? Some of the best.
He gives back. That's what I'm hearing. He
don't get a lot of credit for that, man. But he's the guy that does gives back to his community. Everybody that took his class, you're gonna see, like, comedy not for everybody, but the success rate of the people that do continue to do comedy that have taken this class, they're doing great. You know what I mean? They're all working comedians. They all get paid to do comedy now. And that's just a blessing right there to be able to say that.
So they've been touched by Touré.
Yeah. Definitely. I don't know. I don't want to say that. You know, you might have a Me Too.
Now you
got me in the Me Too documentary with Touré.
No. I don't mean that kind of touching now.
Touré touched me.
Touched by Touré. Everything he touched turned to gold.
Yeah, so shout out
to Dennis, because my co-host Dennis is
who. What happened to him?
He's here.
Okay, all right.
He just letting us have our time. That's all.
Oh, all right. Hey, that's
on the screen, but he's here. Hey. But he's the one that really introduced me to Touré, because I didn't know who he was. I didn't know comedians. I didn't follow comedians like that until I met Dennis, and that's when I started back actually starting to actually follow comedians on IG and so forth, and start learning about you guys, and Touré just impressed me from the very beginning. You know, once he told me who he is, I'm like, now I follow everything that man does. And it's like, when we gonna get him back on the show? He got to come on back on the show. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you one last thing about Touré, and then I'll move on to my last question after this one. What about him do you find is like that secret sauce about Touré?
Oh, man, what he got is that what a lot of comedians just ain't got right now, and it's kind of old school, you know what I mean? I don't see it. It's just really being a true comedian and really digging into what's funny, you know what I mean? He's not out here trying to be the coolest guy or trying to be, you know what I mean, this and that. He's really, his set is really about the humor. Where's the funny? And once you find the funny, find more funny within that. Find nuances, find little things to tweak and work on it. Work on it. Writing and performing. And he's true to that. And if you stay true to that and true to yourself and who you are as a writer, you know what I mean? Inconsistency with it. You know what I mean? Over time. A lot of these dudes, they're funny and they're good, but they might fall off for like 2 years or come back later. Touré has been like legit doing this 30 years and consistently growing. And if you're consistent with anything, it's just going to grow and get better. And that's an example for me, a local example where I can see, okay, if I keep doing something and I don't stop and I stay true to myself, success will happen. Yeah. So he's shining light for that.
Shout out to him. Shout out to Ray again. So I have two final questions, actually. Two.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Really quickly, what are you most proud of as a comedian?
Most proud of as a comedian is, I guess, putting my own production together, man. The Teachers Be Like is pretty dope, man. It's not easy putting together your own production and finding something that's different than what everybody else is doing. I didn't want to just do a comedy show. Everybody got a comedy show or a stand-up comedy show. And you just want to do, you know what I mean? Just another comedy jam or something like that. I wanted to do something specific that was specific to my life, my comedy set, and also to a certain group of people that can really enjoy it and speak right to them. And that was dope. It allowed me to be on TV to promote. I got a lot of reactions, did skits. Actually, it's a podcast that's going to be coming out of this right now called Teachers Be Like, and touring with it also. Yeah, awesome. it's been a blessing.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
My final question then is, if a young person is watching, or young or old, no matter what the age is, watching, and they dream of being a comedian, what advice would you give them to get started?
Write some jokes, write down some things that you dislike. Write a list of things you like and dislike, but focus on the things that you dislike. Small list, like 5 or 10 things, and really zero in on like 3 of those things that you really dislike. And then find yourself an open mic. You know what I mean? Find yourself a karaoke night or open mic or something like that where they already allow comedy and where ain't nobody really going to see you like that. Probably like 10, 20 people. So if you do bad, you bomb, it don't matter. You know what I mean? Because ain't nobody really see you like that anyway. And you can keep trying again over and over again until it becomes kind of funny. And once you get that, you're cooking. And make sure you tape yourself. Because people want to criticize you and say that you're funny or not. But can't nobody tell you like that videotape.
Gotcha. That's right. This has been so much fun. I have enjoyed this today. Hey, Dennis, there's I'm turning this back over to you, but there's a question about freestyle versus writing in the comments from BJ there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that. One thing I want to ask you before I get to that freestyle is right. When are you going to get on Abbott Elementary?
Oh, Abbott Elementary, man. Y'all know, right? Everybody asks me that. Like, yo,
where you gonna get on that? I just don't understand why you ain't. I know you know the people. So I'm talking about why you ain't get the call.
Hey, man, it'll happen, man, when the time is right. You know what I mean? Who knows? I might have my own show. You know what I mean?
Hey.
I'm coming up soon.
You know don't I mean? Forget like, me. Don't forget me.
Yeah, yeah, hey, I won't. Yeah, when the time is right, man, it'll happen, man. It's a lot of stuff, man. I used to question why it ain't happened to me yet, or why I ain't get this yet.
Well, I don't think it's more so why. I just think, you know what I mean. I know you know the people that's, you know, writing.
I know writers. I know a couple people that actually act on the show. Everything. So
yeah, I know Reggie.
And they know what I do. So when the time is right, it'll come around, man. Believe me. Mm-hmm. It's been nothing but progressing, man. So, you know what I mean? I don't know what God got in store for me, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to keep doing my job and do the best I can with that, bro.
I hear that. Now, freestyle versus writing. Now, how do
freestyle
you feel
versus about what?
Writing.
Oh, work. Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's definitely with the writing first, man. Writing is the bones of the shit. If you got all freestyle, like, it's cool, but it's like a bunch of fat. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's like having a thick girl with no bones. Like, it's you got to have something to keep it all structured and in the place. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good one.
You're going to have a bowl of Jell-O. Look like a gummy bear. But nah, so what? Nah, but what I'm saying is that writing overall the job is to make it look like we ain't writing. You know what I mean? Make it look like it's a regular conversation. But the best comedians out here, they write down something. You know what I mean? Like some type of premise or subject matter, the attitude, how they feel about it. And then once you get to working it out, you mix it with a little bit of freestyle. You know what I mean? You salt and pepper and season it a little bit with the moment, whatever's going on right there. But sometimes you don't want to do that. You don't, you know what I mean? If the joke is actually that good and structured properly, it's going to work everywhere you go. So you don't have to freestyle where you're at because it'll look like it's conversational because what you're doing is so good. I know some comedians that don't write at all and they just freestyle the whole thing, which is great, and they kill it. But at the end of the show, it's like, who was that guy? You know what I mean? Like, what does he talk about? You know what I mean? I can't take anything home from that. When I'm done performing, the people get off stage and say, yo, what you said about those students was funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. The way you said that was hilarious. The way you structured that was crazy. I ain't think about this. You know what I mean? So they're talking about me. They don't get off stage and be like, yo, they don't just say, yo, you funny as hell. The way you said all that stuff on stage, you was roasting the motherfuckers, man. That's crazy. Nah, it's, you know what I mean? There's a difference. It's a specific difference. And I want you to walk away saying, okay, he said this. You know what I mean? And he said that. And you remember these jokes. You could retell them almost. You know what I mean? Because you felt what I was saying. And it's not like a blur. That's what it was before I really started structuring my jokes. That's how my set was. People would walk up to me. I noticed the difference. They would just say, hey, yo, you was funny. You was funny, yo, what you said. And then after I started talking really specifically about my job and my life, now I get, yo, I know just what you're talking about. I feel that. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do it. Or my sister, she a teacher. Or a man, I remember teachers back in the day, man, when I was in school. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit, oh, hold on. What they say, I know it's the time a kid came up to you and tried his hand and tried to roast him. Y'all got to come to my shows. Because, look, I got this joke.
I come to the show, so I know.
You know, I got a joke in my set that I talk about a young boy trying to roast me. Kids don't try to roast me as much anymore. They know me at the school. You know what I mean? Like, they know what's up. Every once in a while, they might say something about my hairline. I might get that every once in a while on my forehead. I'll get it. But that's the obvious. You know what I mean? So I'm actually teaching them at the same time about roasting and about snapping. And when you talk about something that's the obvious, that's the easiest thing that you can take. I've been living with this head all my life. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, like, if you, like, come on, Dennis, you fat. You already know. All right, what else you gonna call me? You know what I mean? Exactly. All right, if I'm short, cuz. What else you got? You know what I mean? Like, it's that other stuff that's gonna hurt you. You know what I mean? The stuff they don't know that can really hurt you. That can hurt you. So, yeah, the kids, they try to roast sometimes, but, man, I got so much in the clip for these young bulls. And I can't even roast back no more, cuz I make them cry. I made this one kid really go call his older aunt. Aunt called into the school, and this is when I first started teaching. And she was just like, I heard you say that. I was like, well, this dirty ass need to shut the fuck up. Wait. What is your favorite place to perform? All right, BJ. Favorite place to perform? I say the comedy club, man. Comedy club. You know what I mean? Like, all comedy clubs kind of, you know what I mean, good with me, but not, I say Philly Punchline, man, is about my favorite. Philly Punchline or Helium Comedy Club is okay.
Have you been to them ones in New York?
Yeah, I perform up New York, man, at Grizzly Bear Comedy Club. Shout out to my boy Kenny over at Greenwich Village. You know what I mean? A couple hot comedy in Harlem was just out there. And yeah, they cool, but New York is New York. You know what I mean? It don't hit like back in Philly. New York has a broad audience. You got people that's up there, the tourists. They might be from Russia, from Miami, from everywhere. You know what I mean? So when a comedian speaks, they are speaking to a broad audience. And they have to make everybody laugh at the same time. So the jokes get watered down a little bit. You can't specify certain things or certain words that a certain group of people know. You know what I mean? So when you're speaking to a lot of people like that, the jokes get a little bit watered down and they don't hit the same to me like they do back here in local. I think Philly and D.C. and Chicago got the best comedians in the world. And I'm just biased to Philly area, you know what I mean? Because I've seen Philly go to other places and be the best every time. Every time a Philly comedian go to New York, they the best one out there. Every time we go out to Cali, we the best one out there. Every time we go to Atlanta, we the best down there. Like,
it's y'all are different kind of comedians. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah. And we challenge each other, and we go hard when we go somewhere else. Like, we're not coming out there for nothing. And you know what I mean? Like, that back here, if you say something corny or you steal somebody's joke, or you know what I mean? Like, you're not original or something like that, these comedians will let you know. You know what I mean? They'll get in your ass, and you can't get away with it for too much long. You know what I mean? So that's what, in other places, you can get away with stealing stuff or not being original or just being hacky and saying stuff that's kind of corny. You know what I mean? Like that, that's relatively funny. So, yeah, I definitely like the comedy clubs here in Philly because it's mixed with black and white, young and old. And it's letting me know, okay, this shit work in the hood and it work, you know what I mean, where it's all good. All right, let me know when you coming to Baltimore Comedy Factory. Hey, I should be coming there soon, man. I come out there like once a year. I fuck with Baltimore Comedy Factory. And I come out to Magoobie's down in Baltimore, man, with my boy. Timmy Hall. My boy Timmy Hall.
The police cop? I mean, the comedy cop?
Guy, man. Yeah, man. That's my guy down there, man. He bring me out there sometimes, man. And man. So, yeah, man.
Do you ever come to Raleigh? You come to Raleigh?
Raleigh's. No, I came to Raleigh's.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
And I went to Checkers. I was down there last year. I was down there with my brother. What's his name, man? They got a nice little production down there. It's a black production. It's not a comedy club, but they throw shows down there like every other month. I forgot his name. So I got to look that up. But yeah, I come down there every once in a while. And we just had a show at Comedy Zone down there.
Okay.
Yeah, North Carolina. Yeah.
Comedy Zone, there's Funny Bone.
Yeah.
Someplace else. Good Nights.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Well, if you come through Raleigh, I'll make sure I come check you out. Come through Raleigh or Durham.
Okay, we'll do.
The Durham Performing Arts Center. If they have a big comedy showcase there, we'll love to have you there. That venue is just outstanding.
Hey, well, it's gonna be there soon because we starting to cook up and starting to heat up some things. So definitely next year, it'll be four tours around like the springtime and stuff like that. And also for the summertime too, and for back to school. We're gonna have a few dates coming up too. So I'm looking forward to that. These teachers showing love, they coming through. And yeah.
They got the same problem. That's why you're really hitting home with these teachers. And the fact that you got teacher comedians, like, I don't even know the lady's name, but she was so funny.
G.L. Douglas?
Is that the one that said the joke about she black, and she said the joke about she ain't come here, she didn't get a degree to tie shoes?
Oh yeah. GL, man, she a beast, and she's out here. That's one of the ones we want to take with me when we do the special, man, because we trying to gear up to do a special too, man. Get it on Netflix or Amazon or something.
I think that's a good idea.
Because it hasn't been out here yet.
No, it hasn't been out there. Yeah, she is.
Hell yeah.
Don't come out to see you, man. You're doing a great thing. Now, we talked about two, Ray. Now, how do you feel about Buck Wild?
Oh, Buck Wild, the man, too, man. That's another Philly legend right there, man. Shout out to Buck Wild, man. Buck Wild is a shiny motherfucker. Always got, like, six chains.
Always.
Earring, neck ring, ring, all that shit. But, nah, but he the guy. He nobody wasn't really doing that shit in Philly like that. Like, he looked like a rapper.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and
I didn't know he was a comedian. I ain't gonna lie.
He said it like, "Yo, man, we are." He made me realize. Like, he told me one time, "Mar, we stars." You know what I mean? Like, don't ever think that you're not one. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, I ain't got no star money. Like, what the fuck you doing? Like, you a star. You know what I mean? Look like it and feel like it. And oh man, I don't dress like him, but I never forgot that. Always keep me a little blazer. You know what I mean? Always keep me a little watch or something on me, you know what I mean? And it helped me feel good. And he also told me something too. Like when I first started, he told me to sell it. Make sure you sell your idea to the audience. I was saying stuff and wasn't believing it myself as I said it. And it was it was evident to the crowd. They can see it. You're like, all right, he not really feeling it. And it comes off not funny. You know what I mean? And he taught me how to really believe in the words that I say. So when I speak, even if I'm in a bad mood or something like that, and I don't feel like doing it, I can channel in and just and really, you know what I mean, act out what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Really believe it, really be in the moment. And yeah, shout out to Buck for that, man. You know what I mean? He told me that like two times. The second time it really stuck in my head. And I took that with me.
That's good. That's definitely good, man. It's good to know that. And you said
I got too drunk at a show one time, man. And Buck Wild, I threw up in my backpack. It was horrible, man. And we was on a road trip. And Buck Wild, they took me to a rest stop, and he in the state of Delaware, man. And he took his, you know, they just got them t-shirts in there that say Delaware. He stole one and just put it on, switched my shirt. I woke up in the morning with his Delaware shirt on. I said, what the hell is this? Buck was like, yeah. Oh yeah, man, you was fucked up last night, man. I had to take care of you, man. So yeah.
Yo, there's always some crazy ass stories about Buck Wild, yo. I just don't understand.
I thought he was gonna be the Buck Wild one that night. No, I was Buck Wild that night. I was Buck Wild. Yeah. And then I went to work the next morning.
Yeah, you always say that. All I need is two glasses of water. I'm back.
Yeah, that's all. I was back.
I don't understand your two glasses of water, but you always be drunk as hell. Like, no, I need two glasses of water.
Two glasses will get you right back. Bounce you right back.
He always say that. He was totally drunk the night of the show. I said, ain't no way in hell you go back to work tomorrow. I said, no, I need two glasses of water. I'm all right. Ain't no way in hell. Man, we got to go to fucking work tomorrow. Because I'm in the kitchen. So when you was saying the statement earlier about the whole kitchen, you was like, yeah, man, y'all be stingy with the food. It's not that you stingy with the food. It's just the way that it's addressed from the higher up. They don't want you to give teachers food for free. Wow. I'm on another note, like, man, feed them goddamn teachers. They hungry as hell anyway.
Yeah, man. Yo, that keep me that's a good look, bro. I really save a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, I can spend like a good fucking $75 a week, you know what I mean? Just going out and getting lunch every day, you know what I mean? Right. So I'll be right in there eating. I'm like, oh, this is edible. I'm gonna eat it. You know what I mean? It was some bullshit in there. Like, don't, you know, it's not tasty all the time. But they do what they can. They not allowed to use salt. They not allowed to use sugar in there at all. So
now, yeah, certain schools you ain't allowed to use certain stuff.
But we got Puerto Ricans in there. They be trying to zhuzh it up with something, you know what I mean? They be putting little spices on there. They be trying. The Ricans be back there. I'll be like, mommy, what's going on? Well, you know, I got this chicken, but there ain't no, you know. I'll be like, all right, mommy, just go ahead and do something to it.
You know, it's so funny when they give you that side look, like, eh.
Yeah, they be like, eh, you know. You know. It's two things I don't fuck with. I don't fuck with hot dog day. I'm out the door. I'm not eating the glizzies.
Oh, I mess with the kids all the time. I tell Sharon that all the time. I mess with the kids. Yes. Like, what we eating today, old head? Glizzies and meatballs.
And you know, I didn't know what a glizzy was. I'm like, what are you talking about? What is a glizzy?
They got them.
And then I always get one of the kids that just like mess with me the most, call him King Glizzy. In front of everybody.
Yeah, man.
Like, King Glizzy, what up, baby? Like, oh, man.
Oh, man, here we go.
But it's crazy, right, though, because that really has stopped the kids from eating hot dogs. Just the name itself. Wow. And like, it's some kids that don't give a damn. They be hungry, and they're like, yo, I'm going to eat this. Y'all call me when I want. But it's kids that won't eat just because of it. I stopped eating them before they was calling Glizzies. Because I saw a documentary on how they make hot dogs. And that shit's disgusting. Like, it was nasty as hell. I saw that shit, and I said, I'm never eating again. I stopped eating a lot of processed food when I saw that. Once I saw that smoothie, it's like a whole smoothie that come out. First, it'd be a cute little chicken or something like that, or a little pig. They grind that whole pig the hell up, eyeballs down to the tail, and put that shit inside of a tube. And you eat that, John, man. I can't do it no more. So, yeah.
I saw it. I still eat hot dogs though.
Yeah. All right.
And bologna. Yeah. But okay. I don't eat a whole. There's a whole list of processed foods I won't eat.
Yeah, yeah, and now I can't. You know, it's some processed shit I still eat too. You know what I mean?
I don't eat Scrapple either.
You don't eat what?
I don't eat Scrapple.
Scrapple is nasty, man.
Yeah, Scrapple is not cool. Yeah, I don't. And people say they know how to cook a certain way and all that. It's still
no.
It still ain't got that mush to it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'll let you have that. Whoever eating it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, man. The kids, man, they eat Takis for breakfast. And
one young boy got mad at me the other day. He was like, "Hey, man, I got some Takis over here. You want some?" I said, "I don't eat Takis." He didn't look at me like, "Come on. You don't eat
Takis." Okay, like, what is Takis? What is that?
Oh, Takis are rolled up tortillas. They rolled up. And they have like chili pepper on it, red hot chili pepper. And so it burned up their stomach linings, everything. Like Takis went crazy though. The kids love it. And it's like hot chips. Yeah, I mean, but it's extremely hot.
Yeah. No, I never even heard of it.
They love
Takis. Yeah, you ain't missing nothing. You ain't missing nothing.
Only other thing they learn is they love is Nacho Day. Nacho Day is a crazy day too.
Oh yeah, yeah, Nacho. And I'll be looking like, I'll be trying to tell the kids to eat right and all that, but then I'll be looking like, y'all kids, that shit don't matter. Except for some of y'all kids, they getting fatter and fatter, bro. Like, oh man, girls too, like boys and girls, they're not as active, and the food is still popping, you know what I mean? And they not running and doing nothing nowhere, man. And it's crazy. Like, you see these young boys trying to catch up and get athletic when they then people are like, "No, you that now." You know what I mean? Like, you gonna be that for a while. All the kids, like, not unless they really have an outside structure and they outside all the time, or it's really in their DNA to be skinny. Like this, these young boys is just they getting bigger every day, and the titties is becoming a natural thing for boys now. Like, just a thing.
So they gonna start selling man bras now.
Man, it's something, man. These young boys, I don't know. It's just society, man. You know what I mean? And us as a country, as a world, we just getting fatter anyway. But I just see it in the school and with our diet and our behavior, how we roll. It's like, and I see like the basketball. Said, how the basketball team fat now? Basketball team look like the football team.
But like you said, though, they don't go outside. Ain't no recess. Like the school
level. And ain't no resources. The less they go outside, the less they going to keep up the parks. The less they going to keep up the basketball court. The less, you know what I mean? Like, yep. The less shit they're going to have to do outside in the hood. And, yeah, man, this ain't looking better.
It's taking a toll, that's for sure.
Yeah. For real.
And there's a lot of that I don't understand. Like, I'm at a school now, whereas though the NTAs make the kids go on solid lunch. I said,
Bro, that's the worst. They did that at my old school I used to work at, man. They used to do silent lunch. Like, how the hell
you put... I told the lady, I said, "Listen, if I was in this school, I'd probably be in trouble. Because my dad told me the only time I'm supposed to talk was at lunch." All right?
Man, this is the only talking class. They communicating, bro. And they'll do that shit over one table acting up in the whole calf. They'll say, "Uh-uh. Now the whole cafeteria silent." Yo, what the hell? What, the nerd table too gotta do this? They ain't do nothing wrong. Nerd table sitting over there with their damn Legos. They ain't hurt nobody all damn day, all school year.
What is the purpose of that?
Oh,
no, they be trying to discipline the kids, but I think
it's a power out of them. But that's not how you. That's not discipline.
That's not effective.
Yeah, it's not at all.
That's why you need to be in the future.
And teachers that do that too, they'll say, "Okay, well, if he don't clean this up, ain't nobody going out for recess. Or if y'all don't clean this up, it's like, yo, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't do that shit. Like, what the hell? How you gonna make everybody, you know what I mean, get in trouble for that?" So, yeah, that's old school. It's dumb. It's cowardly too, because you don't really want to confront the main problem. That's right in front of your face and deal with it properly. and you want to take it out on a couple motherfuckers when you can just really deal with, you know what I mean? Now you want to take it out on everybody instead of just dealing with a couple of people that called
them. Right, you could put a couple people on attention.
And for real, you could shut down that whole crazy cafeteria if you just make an example out of the couple of people that act up. Okay, who else next? And you got another one? Get them out. Okay, that's it? All right, cool. We're going to go ahead and deal with them. Make sure you follow with their parents or do whatever type of disciplinary action you can. And that shit won't happen no more. They going to know that, yo, you not playing when you in the cafeteria and certain things you can't do. Anybody get out of line with that? All right, cool. Now, if the whole calf is having a damn food fight or twerking on top of the tables and shit, yeah, you won't have to shut the whole motherfucker down because everybody wrong. But most
I don't know about the twerking. I don't know about the twerking part, but doing the TikTok. Doing the TikTok is the level I'm at.
You know what I mean? I don't know what they're doing down in Atlanta and Miami. But what I'm saying is that, man, and
I'm in Philly. I don't know nothing about that, but I'm just saying twerking is.
Oh, in Philly, they just shooting you in class. He just. But
hey, it's crazy. You got a joke about that? About what y'all supposed to do?
Now,
if there's a shooter that comes through,
shooters, but a school shooter can come to the hood and shoot some shit up. Let's be clear with that. Yeah, you know, I mean, people act like they can't come to the hood. They can come to the hood too, but it's just that we just so preoccupied. with regular shootings, you know what I mean? Like we're not even thinking about somebody, a racist motherfucker coming up into our school and shooting up everybody. Or is somebody just pissed off with the school from back in the day coming in there and shooting up everybody? You know what I mean? That can happen. But,
that can happen.
Man, it's just so much we violence already in the hood that we're dealing with that we can't even, we can't even turn that page and open that book up. You know what I mean? Like, we still grieving with this over here and worried about this, you know what I mean, around the corner.
Right.
Yeah, so it's real deep. It's real out here. I can tell the way my students talking, y'all. It ain't getting no better. I'm telling y'all, it ain't getting no better. These young boys are talking. They talk, it's scary how they talk. You know what I mean? Like, they can't go nowhere no more. It's like Chicago now.
Yeah.
You can't go across town by yourself. You can't even hop on SEPTA and hop on a bus and go certain places. No,
that's that's why they're not active. That's why they don't go outside.
You can't because you'll get killed. Like, exactly. I was criticizing and busting on the kids for wearing hoodies and masks all the time. Even in the summertime, these kids wear hoodies and masks in the summertime. Not just to be cool, but that's what you have to do. You can't show your identity out in public no more. Whether you're out in these streets, whether you're a nerd, whatever, you can't show yourself out in public. You got to have a mask on, a hoodie, and something. And even if you're not about that life, it becomes part of the fashion. Now, on top of the danger, it's just part of the culture now to cover yourself up and to seclude yourself and be by yourself. You know what I mean? Like, yo, it's wild. You know what I mean?
It's different. That's for sure.
It's a lot. It's a lot changing right now. Mm-hmm. And for the old heads that's out there talking about all these young boys and what they doing and all that shit, like, it's about to get turned up another notch. And it's about to be crazy. And some more shit you can't understand if you're not keeping your pulse on these children, if you're not staying involved in their lives and know what's going on right now, you really going to be lost in the fucking dust. And we don't want to do that. Because they not that far off. They not that crazy or that powerful because they only been on this planet 10, 16 years or 20 years. They ain't shit. We've been here 40, 50 years. You know what I mean? Like, so we like they are new to something different, but we just need you to not look at it like it's something so crazy because we created it. We set them up for this. We gave them the platform and they just sitting on it now.
Yeah, but you're right. We have to, as adults, we have to get in their lives and involved and see what they think, what they're saying, and what they believe. So, like, shout out to BJ, who's been in the comments. He's always working with these kids.
Word. What's up, BJ? Shout out to BJ. He's
always doing something with these kids. And that right there is so needed. Oh. Yeah.
It is.
I pray for these kids, and I pray for you teachers. Because it's so much going on in these schools that don't need to be happening. Yeah. And then you've got these children that are living these lives that you would just be amazed. Like,
yeah.
What's going on in your house?
They just trying to do right. They don't know no better. But
they don't know any better.
When this stuff just around like that, like, that's what you know. Scamming is crazy right now. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't even, back in the day, it was all about dope gang. Now these boys is, they running credit cards up, checks. You know what I'm saying? Like, they getting to it. They all kind of ways.
They was doing that. They was doing that around our time too.
It was around our time, but it wasn't the thing to do. The only thing to do, like people, right. it was still drugs and stuff like. Not saying that was the way, but now it's a different way of getting illegal money. You know what I mean? It's through that, and it's just a lot of different things to watch out for. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of old heads, we try to relate to these kids and try to school them, but we schooling them with the old school. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. with the rules to the streets from back in the day, and a lot of things has changed. You know what I mean? And when things happen, you just don't want to be like, I don't understand, or just throw your hands up and forget it, because it's going to face you. Whether you know what I mean? Like, you it's going, whether it be your younger family members, or just you getting smacked up beside the head, going to the store, being on World Star the next day, like you.
Yeah.
Like it's, and I'm old. I know I'm old. I be hearing stuff, music, and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, oh, man, these young boys today. Then I look at, I remind myself about myself and when I was a child, and right. the Snoop Dogg I used to listen to, Wu-Tang yep. I used to listen to. The clothes I used to wear.
NWA.
I used to spend my money on jerseys and sneakers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And how I wanted to be cool, and also like the only choices I knew about how to get money was right there in front of me. And I mean, luckily I had, you know what I mean, a family that showed me some love and made me feel like, you know what I mean, there's something else out there. They ain't know what to show me, but just having a family with love made me know that, all right, like, this ain't it. You know what I mean? I can do some other shit. But yeah, that's a lot of time, man. A lot of them ain't so got that them basics. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we are here with the comedian Lamar Tye. Lamar, do you have any upcoming dates and final words, Wolf?
Oh, man, I got some days coming up, man. Just catch me all over, man. I'm going to be at Punchline Comedy Club a couple days, man. I'm going to be at Helium Comedy Club. I'm doing Mother's Day clean comedy show with the church and stuff like that coming up, man. I got Father's Day comedy shows coming up. I got more teachers comedy shows coming up. I got shows in New York, everything. You can find all these shows on my website. I mean, on my website, on social media. I'm going to take you to a website. Go right to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, or any of that right there. You'll be able to see my upcoming shows. Catch a laugh. You know what I mean? Like none other, too. I don't sound like nobody else. I get funky. I have fun. Dance, sing, all that. You know what I mean?
You and, do. Yeah, hilarious. We
get into it.
Just hilarious. Yeah. You funny.
Thank you. Thank you. I better be funny. I got to do something.
You know, everybody that's out here, I just don't think everybody is funny, but you funny.
Thank you. Yeah. That means a lot, man. I tell people that, man. Like, after shows, that it really means a lot, because I ain't great at everything that I do in my life. So this better be good. This better at least stand up got a part. That part got to be going good. So that's something I got right. That's good.
So on your IG, you're Lamar Tye. On all your social media,
all platforms, all Lamar Tye. I ain't trying to confuse Lamar you. Tide. No underscores, no dashes, no.
That's
for
two R's, you guys.
Two R's.
LamarTode.
Yes. If you don't see this hairline, this forehead, skip to the next one. Yeah. Or the last one, BJ got another one. Hold up. For the people who try not to sit in the front, do you go and try to
find the people trying to hide?
No, I do not do that. If I'm hosting, I might ask everybody to sit up in the front. You know what I mean? Because laughter is a contagious thing where people have right. to kind of be near each other and close, sitting together for it to work. Right. But no, if they sitting in the back trying to hide, they cool, man. We not here to roast nobody. Like, them comedians that get up there and roast everybody, they don't got a lot of material. They don't got a lot of written material or real jokes already on deck. And so they got to go ahead and get out there and mess with everybody in the crowd. Them people ain't get dressed and spend money and buy the ticket so they can come here and get roasted by you in the front row. You know what I mean? They come out to go on a date. They come out to have fun. They come out to, you know what I mean, get a drink or whatever. And now I'm up here calling them fucking fat or ugly or coming at their hat. You know what I mean? Like, now, if you want to be rude and you want some of that smoke, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to participate and become part of the show, you can become part of the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, that happened to me earlier this week. A dude just wanted to, it kind of, you know what I mean? He wasn't, like, heckling, but he kept agreeing with everything I was saying real loud. I was just like, you know what? It was a teacher show. I said, man, excuse me, you a teacher? Well, you know to shut the fuck up in class while the speaker is talking. Get you the fuck out of here, man. Call my aide and get you the fuck out of this building.
Hey, you didn't ask for a co-signer from the floor.
Nah, yeah. They all knew. But my job is not to attack anyone. I've seen some of the craziest looking people sit right in front of me, and I said nothing about them. I'm not going to say nothing about them because they paid money. They look nice. You know what I mean? They look like they might be a nice person, but their hair might be fucked up, or they might got a hole in their moo-moo or something like that.
Some people do that on purpose just to see if you will say
something. I know, because I used to do that. Before I started doing comedy, I used to heckle. I used to go to Laugh House. I used to go to Hillen Comedy Club. And I used to sit right in front and not laugh and, like, expect somebody to say something to me so I could say something back. What I learned is that shit means nothing unless you have a microphone in your hand. True. The person with the microphone has the power. Whatever you're saying on the side means nothing. You know what I mean? Not unless that person on stage is a weak comedian and it can be brought down from that. You know what I mean? But I didn't know that at the time. So now, as a comedian, when I see people that want to participate or want to say something a little funny, I know they truly inside, they want attention and they want to be on stage, because that's what I wanted. I wanted to kind of be funny. And I looked at everybody else like, hey, I'm funny too, but they don't know how to get their place in comedy.
Yeah, BJ said the best lessons are learned firsthand.
Yes.
That's true. Experience is the best teacher.
It is, and it taught me a whole lot, you know what I mean? And that's why, you know what I mean, I hate going through problems, but I always thank God for, you know what I mean, my mistakes or, you know what I mean, the things that I do, because I learn from them. I don't walk away. That's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to learn. And I'm going to try not to make the same mistake twice, you know what I'm saying? So the same thing in comedy, man. You know what I mean? We make mistakes. Or, like, one day dude was heckling. I invited him on stage, you know what I mean? I said, oh, you funny? Come on up here. And he came up there, and he was a little funny. And now me and him roasting back and forth, and then I had to, all right, cuz you get off stage, you know what I mean?
All right, that's enough.
Yeah. So my main thing now, if I have to roast somebody or messing with somebody in the crowd, is to always make them laugh. You know what I mean? Like, you laughing too. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't sitting there mad while everybody else laughing at you. I want you to kind of crack a smile and say, you know what, this is silly as hell. You know what I mean? And then I'm going to go ahead and tell some more jokes. And when I tell those jokes, I'm going to look right back at you, because you with us again. You know what I mean? And you're going to walk out of here. You're going to slap my hand. And we're going to be cool. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't no beef. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing like that. But I had to get at you real quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you asked for it. But, most comedy shows, nobody sits up front. Everybody sits in the row behind that or something like that. Now, unless it's jam-packed and they ain't got nowhere else to sit, they forced to sit up front, except for white folk. White folk, they are oblivious to a lot of roasting, and they just like, yeah, comedy show, right? Front seats. And they sit right there. And, you know.
And they come right on up there. And that's
I spit on a dude yesterday. I was laughing so hard. He was in front row, and I spit on him. I was like, I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, it's great, dude. I love it.
This was yesterday.
Last night in Bananas Comedy Club. Shout out to Bananas Comedy Club, man. Great spot.
Oh, the place here is called the Raleigh Improv. That's where I'm
going. Oh, Improv is shit. Yeah, hell yeah.
The Raleigh Improv. That's where I want to see you at.
Hey, let's hook it up.
All right.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah.
Hopefully it all works out. Sharon, you got any last words?
My last words is be yourself in all things and don't allow people to change who you are.
Yeah.
Just be yourself.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Be yourself.
Ain't no such a rapper J. Cole, man. He said, ain't no such thing as a life that's better than yours.
That's right. No, that's what he says. I just saw him yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's from North Carolina.
He's from here. He's from Raleigh.
Yeah, from Raleigh. Yeah, it works.
He just happened to be flying through, literally.
Yeah. No, I saw his, I went to his concert when he came to Philly, him and 21 Savage. It was dope. Mm-hmm. That's the last concert I said I'm going to, too. I was in there like, you know what? I'm too old.
Where was it at?
At the, not the Eagles, John, the Sixers Stadium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh,
Well, he started a concert here called Dreamville, and we just had it this past weekend, and it was dope.
Oh,
it was really dope. Y'all need to catch it next year. But this year, Usher and Drake perform, and it was dope.
Wow!
I didn't go. I didn't make it, but I saw footage.
Oh, now that's.
And they said Usher just brought it down.
There's a concert in his own, yeah. So like
that's yeah, right.
Nobody. That's Usher. Right there, yeah, mm-hmm. Get that little slide and that little chain neck, John. I used to do that with my chain neck.
And he can still sing. He can sing. He still has a good voice now. He still does. So, yeah.
That herpes ain't stopping at all.
See.
Hey, yeah.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop now. No, I mean, heard that. I heard that was not true.
R. Kelly had herpes allegations. And Usher had herpes allegations. And don't they got a song called Same Girl?
Same Girl, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
I was like, yeah, ain't that love? Yeah. But Usher that dude, though. I don't think nobody can see him in verses, man. That's my guy, man. These kids, man, that's all they know is that type of music. When it comes to R&B, because their R&B suck ass and they don't got no real love music. Like, all they know that's is right. They know Usher, Ashanti. They know... They in the
and hall, R. Like, Kelly, they over there, they over there singing. Matter of fact, they got mad at me at the school because I was like, "So we ain't allowed to listen to R. Kelly?" It was like, "No, you ain't allowed to listen to R. Kelly." So then about 2 hours later in the lunchroom, they start playing music. They ain't there playing Shake a Leg. I said, "Wait a minute, playing. Hold on.
So
we only allowed to listen to TikTok R. Kelly. That's only R. Kelly." Yeah.
They TikTok to R. Kelly now. They do that leg shake. Right. That's a dance. That's a challenge. Yeah, they don't know that came from a man that just looked. He said, "How old are we talking?" He said, "Have you had sex with? Do you have sex with teenagers?" When you say teenagers, how young you talking?
bad.
My sister. Oh man, we gotta get out of here. Listen, my final words, and everybody out there that's watching, we have got to get Sharon to be a counselor in this school.
Why you say that? Because she got the counselor look.
She got it all. The look, she be caring so much about these kids, she got it all. She got it all. She got everything but being in the office.
That shit don't pay much, bro.
I am very passionate about children. I get emotional. I cry. I do. But these kids about drive me crazy. I be ready to hit them in the throat. And I can't do that.
You got to put a bong in your room. A bong or a blunt. Just have an ashtray or something like that.
I ain't smoking weed, though. When see, I don't even like that. I ain't smoking no reefer, as you say.
So after they tell you, you know what I mean, everything that's going on with them, you be like, you put your head up like, yo, that's crazy. like there's so much going on at home. My daddy's abusing it. Yeah, word.
Lamar, you just don't understand. I would be like this.
It's a lot, and counselors don't get paid a lot, so it's a lot for the job that they have, man. Shout out to the counselors in my school, man. They go hard, but
I care about these children, and I'm a fierce defender of children, but Some right. of these kids, boy, they ain't had no home training. It's them parents. Oh,
yeah.
Some of them kids gonna try to get you. They gonna try to, but you gonna see that coming. That's why I said you need to be a counselor.
Dennis, they don't want me to be the counselor because I've been throwing some kids around somewhere. So
yeah. Well, we're gonna get up on out of here though. That's what we're gonna do. Shout out to everybody that came through today. God bless y'all. Great day.